take your Bible, please. Turn to the book of Genesis chapter 14 with me, please. Back to the book of Genesis chapter 14. This suit is shrinking on me. I don't understand that. It's been dry cleaned or something. It's not supposed to shrink when it does that, right? Huh? Anybody know the answer to that? Would you raise your hand? Anybody? Yes. What was that? Too short or too narrow? I don't recall asking you, really. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm just kidding with you. Genesis chapter 14. I'm giving you part three of a message that we've been studying through this chapter together entitled Abram the Hebrew. We've already given you part one, given you part two, and tonight, God willing, we finish with part three. We're going to pick up our reading in verse number 16. We're studying through this chapter together, and for time's sake, we'll just pick up our reading in verse 16. And he, Abram, brought back all the goods and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods and the women also and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheva, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, Give me the persons, and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, and I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. Save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. Now again, we've already given you two parts of this. We take our title from earlier in the chapter entitled Abram, the Hebrew, and tonight this is part number three. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us, I pray. May the will of God be done. Guide us and direct us. Deal with us thoroughly. Forgive my sin. Help me to be clean. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me give you the introduction again, then we'll just tap on the head what we've already went over, and we'll give you the final thought tonight. As we come to this chapter, we're reminded of the previous chapter again, where Lot lifted up his eyes towards Sodom. He then chose all the plain of Jordan and pitched his tent toward that wicked land. However, in this chapter, we see Lot is no longer pitching his tent toward Sodom, but in chapter 14, which is where we're studying now, he is actually dwelling in it with his family. Now, once again, we need to understand the progression of sin. Sin starts gradually, and then it gradually gets worse and worse and worse if it's not dealt with in a biblical manner. Now, in the opening 12 verses of this chapter number 14, we see a man by the name of Chedorlaomer, along with three other kings. They made war with the king of Sodom along with others with him. Now, the outcome of that particular battle was that Sodom was in captivity for 12 years. And a major thought that came out in my study is this goes to show that when Lot lifted up his eyes toward the land of Sodom, that land was already a land of bondage. And I'm telling you that any move outside of the will of God is not going to make you free, it's going to make you bound. Now in the 13th year of that particular captivity, this is all in the opening part of this chapter, Sodom along with the others rebelled against Chedorlaomer. And in the 14th year, Chedorlaomer and the other kings with him came to do battle again against the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now as a result of this second invasion, the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah ran to the mountain, and Chedorlaomer took all of the goods. The Bible says he took all of the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals, and along with it, specifically this time is mentioned, how he also took Lot and his goods and departed. And the major thought here is that Lot was taken captive this second time because he was there in the first place. If Lot had not a moved there, he would have never been there to take captive, you see. Now, this is the scene that's on the scene here as this message comes out, beginning in verse number 13. Lot, with all of his goods and all of Sodom's goods and Gomorrah's goods, have been taken captive. Now, with that being have just taken place, there's a man that we're studying in these chapters here by the name of Abram. He's later going to be called Abraham. He steps on the picture once again. And there are three major things that we're noticing about Abram, and it's taken an entire message to give you every one of them. First of all, we noticed he recovered all. This was brought out in verses 13 to 16, and under that, we noticed several thoughts. First of all, we learned that we're to show mercy and grace, that Lot had spit in his face, spiritually speaking, and Abram could have sat back and said he's got what was coming to him, but instead of doing that, by mercy and grace, he stepped out to help his nephew. We learned, secondly, under this, that you don't have to be like the world to help the world, because Abram had no idea about this invasion until that one who escaped came and told him. And that tells us he was so separated from it, but yet he's the one God used to help it. You don't have to ever become like the world to help the world. Thirdly, we notice that being right with God brings victory no matter what the odds are. Then, secondly, we notice he not only recovered all, but secondly, we notice he received a visit. And this visitor that we focused our attention on was a man by the name of Melchizedek. And let me say this to you, there's a lot of debate on who this man was. Some people try to say he was the Lord incarnate. I personally do not believe that, but I'm not going to split hairs with people who teach that. Because, friends, may I say something to you here? Anytime good, godly people have a legitimate argument on something, that is not the main point of the passage. Amen, friends. Don't ever get hung up on, well, I believe it's this, and I'm going to separate from you because you don't believe it was the Lord. That's hogwash. That's ridiculous. The one thing I do know is this. I don't know exactly who he was, but I know this. The Word of God tells us that he is a type of Jesus Christ. There's no question about that. In Hebrews chapter 7, it says, made like unto the Son of Man, the Son of God, and it says, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest. Another priest is Jesus Christ, friends. And I'm telling you that we know from the very least, whoever this man is, we know that he's a type of Jesus Christ. Now, that being the case, we notice several thoughts under it. Let me mention them because this is not my message. You can go back and get it later. First of all, we notice that Melchizedek brought bread and wine. Interesting that he brought something to refresh him and to give him a picture of redemption. Secondly, we noticed that Melchizedek pictures the eternality of Jesus Christ because the Bible says that he was without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. I personally believe that that's talking about his priesthood. And what I mean by that, he did not come from the tribe of Levi, which that priesthood had a beginning and had an ending. But Melchizedek was not a Levite. He did not come from the tribe of Levi. Therefore, his priesthood had no beginning of days, no end of life, and the Lord's priesthood has no beginning of days, no end of life. However, I'm not going to split hairs with people on that. Everybody with me here, I'm not going to split hairs with people on that. All I know is that we know that who he pictures has no beginning of days and has no end of life. That's the main point under point two. He's a type. He's a picture. Thirdly, we notice that Melchizedek was both priest and king, so was the Lord. Fourth, Melchizedek was identified as both righteousness and peace by his name, and we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is righteousness and peace. Number five, we notice that Abram received a blessing from the one who pictured Christ and not the world, and we brought out there that we should be more interested in what Jesus thinks about us than what the world thinks about us.
Then number six, we notice Melchizedek channeled Abram's focus onto God. And last, we notice Abram gave Melchizedek tithes of all. Now, I just summarized that. You can go back and get all of those on separate messages. Forget what I just said, because we're going to point three. This is the main thought tonight. Number one, we notice Abram the Hebrew, he recovered all. Number two, we notice he received a visit. But number three, we notice, here it is, he refused a temptation. He refused a temptation. In verses 21 and 24 through 24, we see something taking place around Abram's meeting now with the king of Sodom. The king of Sodom told Abram to give him the people back, but take the goods to himself. Now, it's this offer that I want to draw our attention to tonight, because this offer by the king of Sodom was a huge temptation for Abram. Remember, it was said how the kings who took Lot also took all the goods. Remember that? The Bible says that Chedorlaomer took everything that Sodom had, took everything that Gomorrah had. So when Abram brought the people back and the king said, just give me the people, take the goods, he was offering him everything his city had to offer. This is a major, huge temptation. Now stay with me. I'm going to show you why it's a temptation. And what I'm saying to you here is that Abram refused this by saying, I told God I will not take from a thread to a shoe latchet. Because if I do take it, then you, king, can take credit for my riches. Now stay with me here. This was a temptation to rely upon the provision of man instead of the provision of God. Abram didn't even hesitate. He refused this temptation immediately for himself. Now, there are several thoughts I want to bring out about this temptation. And these thoughts, honestly, it's amazing. It is absolutely amazing to me how God works through preaching through books of the Bible. He has us right where we need to be. It's amazing to me. First thing we notice about this refusing a temptation, here it is, you ready for it? Temptation came right after a great victory. Temptation came right after a great victory. See, the Lord had just given Abram a huge victory. I mean, remember, he took these 318, I believe it was, if my memory serves me correct, of the servants that he had trained in his own house. Chedorlaomer and all these other kings had this mighty army. They were outnumbered. But God that night gave him a wonderful victory, huge victory over this enemy. And it's interesting how right after this victory, he was brought face to face with temptation. This goes to show that we must constantly be on guard, especially after great victories. Now, our church has just had a great victory, friends. Our vacation, Preacher Lashley told me today, he said, Brother Joni, he said, I believe that's one of the best vacation Bible schools our church have ever had. And I'm going to tell you something, I agree with him. And I'll tell you one reason it was. There's people everywhere working together in unity. When Brother Gary gets up here and says that some people come up to him and say, what am I supposed to do? And he's like, I don't know. That's a great problem for a church to have. I'm talking about a great victory. I'm talking about people being saved, lives being changed. One night I was out with the buses. I helped park them and helped turn them loose. Of course, I learned a great lesson on the first night. And that was, don't stand behind the bus to park it, because they couldn't hardly see my fist like this when I was raising it up like that. So from there on out, I stood to the side. Put it this way, you know what I'm saying? Right there, it's good enough right there. But what I'm saying to you is this. I remember specifically one night we were waiting for two children. because all the buses were staying out there, and until all the kids are on the buses, we're just making sure we've got everybody in the right place, and then we let the buses go. And come to find out, the two kids we were waiting on was a brother and sister. And both of them came out and they had trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. There's nothing compares to that, friends. Come on. What am I saying? I'm saying this. Last week was a great spiritual victory for Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Great victory. Now, watch out. Amen, friends. I know what I'm talking about. The devil does not like it when things are going right. And the devil does not like it when people are being saved and a church is rejoicing in the things of God. So he's going to try to stick something in there and stick something in there and stick something in there. I'm telling you, the first thing we learn about this temptation is when you are on a mountaintop, watch out. Because temptation came right after a great victory. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. May I tell you that the words roaring, walketh, and seeking are present tense? That means right now he's roaring, right now he's walking, right now he's seeking. And one way he tries to do it is temptation. And one time he does it is after a great victory. Because if you're not careful, after a great victory, there's great temptation. Remember Elijah. I'm telling you, the Lord's teaching us a great lesson here. He refused a temptation. We learn under that, first of all, that temptation came right after a great victory. Secondly, we learn when you're dealing with temptation that God's glory is to be top priority. God's glory is to be top priority. See, Abram saw right through this offer by this king. Matter of fact, I want to show this to you. Look at verse number 23. Now, the middle part of verse number 22 is where Abram says, I've lift up my hand in the Lord, the Most High God. And then he says in verse 23, this is what he said about talking to God here. I've told him that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latch, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. Let me ask you a question. Who made Abram rich? God did. And yet when this king offered him all of the goods of the city, Abram saw right through it. And he saw that if he said yes to this, then when people would look at Abram, a seeming nobody, and see his great riches, they would say, oh, that came from Sodom. That came from the king of Sodom. You see where I'm going with this, friends? This is what Abram recognized. Abram told this king, he said, I'm not going to take anything that belongs to you. He recognized that if he took those goods, that in the long run, it would take the glory that belonged to his God away from him and give it to a mere human being. He recognized if he took these goods, that this king would take credit for his riches. In other words, Abram refused this temptation because the glory of his God was important to him. He was more concerned with God's glory than his own personal wealth. He refused to be dependent upon man. He wasn't basing this offer on how impressive the presentation was or how impressive the king was, but he was basing this decision on holiness. And I'm telling you, it's been said, you get nothing from temptation but what you will have to pay for later on. Abram recognized this and turned the temptation down immediately. Here's what I'm saying to you. We are all tempted. And every last one of us are tempted many times, basically every day of our life. And I'm telling you that when you are confronted with a temptation, we need to see it for what it is. You know what it is? It is something trying to take glory away from God. and give his glory to something or somebody else. That's all temptation is. And I'm telling you that many times that temptation takes the glory away from God and gives it to self. You succumb to a temptation, you know what you're telling God? You think more of yourself than him. If I succumb to a temptation, if I know something's wrong and I do it anyway, now we all do those kind of things, okay? We're all sinners. But I'm trying to keep, I'm trying to help this church be healthy. I was up with our teenagers in Pennsylvania, and I was spending some time with Pastor Kurt Skelly. I'd never spent much time with him, but he's highly sought after, especially among teenagers. Godly man. I mean, there's just some men that you get around and you realize that God's touch is on him. And God's wisdom is on this man. This is one of those type of men. I had the privilege of going out to eat with him. He's the one who tried to get me to get, you know, I think it was a 21-ounce ribeye that I said no. Glory. Imagine what this suit would look like if I said yes to that, you know what I mean? But he's made this statement, and the Lord has sealed it in my mind. Now, I may eventually forget this, but right now I've not forgotten it. I don't know if it's original with him or if he was quoting somebody else, but here's what he said. He said, Jody, if something's healthy, it grows. If it's sick, it doesn't. You know, you apply that to the church. You listening to me? Our church is growing. Praise God for that. I mean, we got new people coming in, visitors almost every week. I lined up two visits tonight before church, one for Saturday, one for next Tuesday. I'm talking about the church is growing. Don't ever take it for granted. Let me tell you why it's growing. It's healthy. If it's healthy, it grows. If it's detracting or if it's not growing, something's sick. You know what this message is doing? It's telling you about a sickness out there. There's a bug you need to stay away from. There's something that's very contagious. And if you let it get near you, it'll suck the life out of you. And it's called temptation. And I'm telling you, it's time that we see that when we are tempted to do that, or we're tempted to say that, or we're tempted to act that way, or we're tempted to make that judgment, stop and say, will this bring glory to God? Or is it trying to take glory from him? We learn that from this. Then there's a third thing we learn. We learn that yielding to temptation hurts other people. Yielding to temptation hurts other people. You say, where are you getting that from? Okay. What did the king of Sodom offer Abram? Everything. All the goods. Right? Now listen to this. If you remember that all the goods were taken and all the goods were offered to Abram, the point is if Abram took all the goods, what are the people going to have left? You see what I'm saying? His yielding to this particular temptation would have meant hurting the people of Sodom. Because if he would have taken everything out, what are they going to live on? What are they going to eat? How are they going to make it? This is the point I'm trying to make. That when you give in to temptation, if you yield to it, you not only hurt yourself, you're going to hurt somebody else along the way. Somebody put it this way, and I quote, the evilness of a solicitation, proposal, recommendation, or a philosophy can be quickly discerned by the test of selfishness. In other words, if this is just for you and you don't care what anybody else thinks and you don't care what they say, you don't care, you don't care how it affects or anything else, listen, that's a pretty good test whether you ought to do something or not. And I'm telling you the fact is this. If you're saved tonight, you have the Holy Spirit of God living in you. By the way, I never preach at you. I preach to us. One reason I preach hard is because I need this. I need it. Don't think that a pastor is not tempted.
Don't think that I don't deal with some of the same things you deal with and maybe other things you don't deal with. All I'm saying to you is this, when you yield to temptation, whatever that temptation is, temptation to lie, temptation to cover something up, temptation to throw that, temptation to say that, temptation to do that, temptation to listen to that, temptation to go there, temptation to drink that, temptation to do that, whatever it is, if you give in to it, it hurts other people along with yourself. Period. Period. Are you listening to me? What would happen to this church? I hope nothing dramatic. But what would happen to this church if your pastor fell in sin? Now, this church would not go down because it's not built on me, amen. But it would have detrimental effects on this church. What would happen to a family if the daddy throws in hook, line, and sinker? What happens to brother and sister if the other brother and sister gives in to temptation? What happens if you yield to it? Somebody says, what's the big deal? It's just me. No, it's not. No, it's not. You go down, you take somebody else with you. Interesting verse in the book of Joshua. Remember the story? Remember the story of Achan and secret sin? I want to show you a verse here. Hold your place right here and flip over to Joshua chapter number 21, I believe it is. Joshua chapter 21. I'm going by memory here, so let me check my reference here just a moment. Joshua chapter 22, okay? Joshua chapter 22, look at verse number 20. Now everybody knows the story of Achan, right? Everybody knows the story of Achan. I'm talking about before he ever went in to help destroy the city of Jericho, God said, keep your hands off everything. You remember the story. And the Bible says he saw all these things, and he took it and he hid it under his tent, and he's going to be stoned. And make a long story short, he's stoned and his children stoned with him. But I want to show you this verse. Look at chapter 22, verse 20. Did not Achan, the son of Zerah, commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel? And that man perished. What's the next two words? Not alone. In his iniquity. Did that man perish? Sure he did. But not alone. He took his family with him. See, this is temptation. This is what temptation does. Temptation not only takes somebody down, it takes others around him down. It takes others around her down. That's the third thing we learn. Number one, we learn from this, he refused the temptation. We learn that temptation came right after a great victory. We learn, number two, that God's glory is to be top priority when you're dealing with temptation. Temptation is trying to take glory from God. When you yield to it, it strips God of glory and gives it to somebody else. Number three, we learn that yielding to temptation hurts other people. And number four, this is the final thing. We learn that communion with God helps one refuse temptation. Communion with God helps one refuse temptation. Now, I get this from a couple of things here. It's important to remember how Abram had just had a meeting with somebody. What came in between the great victory and the great temptation? The visitor named Melchizedek. Glory. You say, what are you talking about? Who is this man a picture of? He's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abram received a blessing from him. But along with this visitor that pictured Christ, we see that Abram told the king that he had already told God, I will not take anything the man offers me. Now that tells me that Abram's on speaking terms with God. You understand what I'm saying? By the way, this is another point for you. I almost put it down, but I wasn't sure if I could prove it all the way, but it seems to be the case that Abram said no to this before it ever came. Because Abram said, I've lifted up my hands to God that I'll take nothing from a shoe latchet to a thread. And all I'm saying to you is that we see that when he said, I have spoken with God, we see that he was in communion with God. He had built an altar. He was right with God. God was speaking to him. He was speaking with God. He was living in a way that pleased the Lord. And my friends, in the same way, let us all understand the importance of having a meeting every day of our life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as Abram had a meeting with Melchizedek, the one who pictured the Lord, let us have a meeting and a visit with Jesus. Let us seek the blessing of our Lord upon our lives, and may God help us to see the importance of being on speaking terms with him. Because see, one thing that helped Abram say no to the temptation was he was on speaking terms with God. I'm telling you that temptation is big. Temptation is temptation because it looks good, feels good, smells good, tastes good. Just apply it to whatever, friends. Seems good, seems right. It's not a temptation unless it's tempting. See what I'm saying, friends? If it's not tempting, it's not a temptation. It looks good, it's big, it's enticing. It's like old Dr. Tom Farrell says, that the devil will show you the thrill, but he doesn't show you the kill back here. That's temptation. And I'm telling you that, friends, listen to me. I don't know if anybody listening to me tonight, I don't know if anybody has ever had I'm talking about the size of a temptation that Abram just had offered to him. Anybody had all of a city, an entire city's money and goods and materials offered to you? I don't think so. I haven't. I mean, honestly, could you imagine New York City coming to you and saying, all the money, all the goods, everything we have is yours for the taking, right? You just sign on a dotted line. Let me ask you a question. Would you even pray about it? You know what Abram said? He saw it back here. He discerned it. Let me ask you a question. Who helped him discern it? God did. He saw it back here. And he said, God, I will not take from a thread to a shoe latchet. If the man offers me anything, I'm not going to take it. The man offers him. Abram recognized it's going to take glory from God. Abram spoke to God about it already. Abram realized if he took it, that it was going to hurt those precious people. And Abram realized, right after a great victory and a great meeting with Melchizedek, the temptation is now staring him right in the face. I'm trying to help some of you tonight stay out of trouble. And by the way, you preach a message like this, I might preach it down at camp. One reason, because I know they haven't heard it. You know what I'm saying? But let me help you with something here. A preacher preaches on this, and everybody, a lot of people think, well, that's for the kids. That was good for the teenagers. That's good for the young adults. Are you listening to me? That's good for everybody. He refused a temptation. Stay right with God. Stay in communion with Jesus Christ. Have a meeting with Melchizedek and refuse what the devil throws at you so God gets all the glory that belongs to his precious name. Amen. You got it? Abram the Hebrew, three things about him. He recovered all. He received a visit. He refused a temptation. May the Lord help us to do the same. May add his blessing to this. Let's all bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us. We love you and rejoice in who you are, what you've done in our lives. And I pray, our Father, that you help us to be right with you. Help us to trust you. Help us to believe you. Father, take this thought and use it in a mighty way. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. Let me apply this to you. Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Are you really God's child tonight? Do you know without a doubt that heaven is your home? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? Do you really know the Lord? If you don't, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and share with you how you can know Jesus as your Savior. Or maybe tonight God is speaking to you. I'm going to dwell with where I dwelled here in the message. How are you dealing with temptation? Are you listening to me? Temptation can seem like a small thing, but if you give in to it, it explodes. All of us are tempted to give in. All of us are tempted to say yes to temptation. And all I'm preaching to you tonight, friends, is that if you've just had a great victory, any time that you're right with God, I mean, you're on the mountaintop, watch out. Watch out. I'm preaching to you tonight that when you're dealing with temptation, that God's glory is to be the priority. Not you, not what you feel, not what you think. But what does God say about it? If you say yes to that, is it going to be giving God glory and God praise and God honor? Third thing we looked at is if you say yes to temptation, you're not just going to hurt yourself. You're going to hurt others with you. And yet we close tonight with the thought that what helps you say no is being on speaking terms with God, communing with Him day by day, having a meeting with Melchizedek. I'm talking in spiritual terms. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how God's dealing with you. Why don't you talk to Him about it? You say, Jody, I don't know if I'm on speaking terms with Him. Then why don't you come get on speaking terms with Him? If you're a Christian, 1 John 1:9 is written to you. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Anybody leaves here tonight not on speaking terms with God, it's not God's fault, it's their fault. You need God's power. I need God's power. I need God's influence in my life. I've got to be talking to Him. I've got to be communing with Him. Why? Because temptation is bigger than I am. It's stronger than I am. And He's the one that has to help me say no. You understand what I'm saying. May God help us. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take this thought and use it in a mighty way. Help people to respond who need to respond. Help us all to say no to temptation and yes to the glory of God. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. If God is speaking to you, as Brother Gary sings, come, talk to God about it. Would you? He's singing. Come on now. Talk to God about it.
Yield not to temptation.
Come talk to God.
Come talk to the yielding Lord. Sin.
Lord, this is where I'm tempted.
Will help
help
you
me say no.
Some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus, He will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you.
Playing through softly. If you're still standing, I'd like you to look this way. We're just about done. We want to give folks time to pray. Well, let me just say this to you. Maybe this is something you can go home with. Where you are a month from now, a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, if God gives you breath, you understand, if He gives you life and He doesn't come back, if He gives you a year, 6 months, where you are at that time depends on what you do with temptation. That's what it depends on. You know how you defeat temptation? You don't fight it. You stay right with God. The battle's the Lord's, friends. And you run to Jesus and let Him have it every day of your life. And say, I know that's big, but that's not as big as He is. And you walk with Him and talk with Him and speak to Him and stay on speaking terms with Him. Stay right with God. May the Lord help us with this. Let's sing that first verse one more time, Brother Gary. If nobody else comes, we'll be done.
Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus. Carry you,
you know,
through.
Sing it with Him.
Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through.
And I remind you tonight, as we close, I'm going to pray and close as they keep on playing here. It's not a sin to be tempted, because if it's a sin, then the Lord sinned. And we know the Lord never sinned. The tempter came to Him in Matthew 4. It's not a sin to be tempted, lest you put yourself in a place of temptation. You understand what I'm saying? It's a sin to give in to it. There's a big difference there. The old saying, you can't keep the birds from flying overhead, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. That's temptation. Don't give in to it. Father, we love You and thank You for this thought. Seal it on our hearts. Help us to say yes to You and no to temptation. May the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, folks. Have a good night. Thank you for coming.